Well, it was about 40, 45 degrees, something like that, and Chetna just stood there shivering, no particular reason. She had a jacket on, she had a nice cap on, and she was dressed what appeared to be pretty warm, but she was shivering for whatever reason, who knew? She was holding up her book as she was trying to read it, and you could just see the book just trembling, shaking like that, vibrating. And people were walking by looking at her, and some people got up real close to her face and just started to look right deep into her face as she was reading. They saw her eyes going back and forth, reading the words, and noticed under her nose it was getting a little wet. And she could kind of feel the sensation of the story she was reading, and she was kind of showing gestures with her book and hands and her head swaying back and forth like that, and pretty soon her shoulders were going up and down, and as she started to read more and more, you could see her eyes going faster and faster, and she didn't know whether she was going to burst out into some kind of loud noise or was going to just outright scream or something, but she was just fidgeting and fidgeting all over the place, and all of a sudden she just stopped still. Everybody just kind of just stood and stared at her like she froze rock hard. Everybody was still. Nobody knew what was going on. Somebody had an idea, and they gently raised their hand into the air, and nobody responded, but the person still held their hand up in the air. And this was going on for about 2 minutes, just standing there holding her hand in the air. And Chetna, who was reading the book, slowly turned her head just a bit and gazed right at the person. And she said, in kind of a comedic kind of way, "What do you want?" And everybody just relaxed. They knew she was alive. They knew that something had happened, that something triggered, brought her back to life again, so they thought. Because they thought she was basically petrified. It was almost like she turned to stone right there and then. They were afraid there for quite a while. They all just didn't know what to do, and they just locked in, staring at her. Well, now that they knew that she could talk and do things, they went upon their merry way, as they do every other day. They just kept on going like that, and one of them, walking along, they had kind of a string or a rope or something attached to her foot, and she was kind of walking, and you could see that string just flipping and flopping as she was walking down the sidewalk, and a couple of the other ones were looking at her, and they were kind of giggling a little bit and pointing and all that stuff, and that rope was just tossing and turning and flipping and flopping as it was going down the sidewalk, and she just kept on going. Nobody hollered, "Hey, stop, you got something on your foot." They just let her go. Didn't matter to them one way or the other. Well, by the time the bus got there, she just put the book in her pocket, stood straight tall, waited for the bus to stop right in front of her. She would not even get on the bus if it didn't stop exactly right in front of her, aligned right with the doorway. The bus driver knew it because he stopped there all the time, and every time he stopped either too far or too short, she wouldn't get on the bus. She just stood there. He had to kind of creep up, or he maybe had to back up a little bit just to align the door exactly right for her so that she could go in and go up those stairs and get onto that bus. Oh, the driver, he was getting nervous. He thought to himself, there's got to be something happening here that it just isn't exactly the way it should be. I mean, she should just be able to just come to the bus, get on the bus, and that was it. But no, she had to get it exactly straight. Well, he was getting tired of this. And as she walked up and walked past him, he said, "Hey." She turned around and looked real slow. Well, that, of course, intimidated him, and he just kind of went right back to his steering wheel. Didn't even turn back around. She went back and sat down. That's how she was. She had the power of silence. She had the power of silence that could make you freeze in your tracks. But that's the way she was. She was known for that. Even on the bus, as she walked by, people just stared straight ahead. They didn't even look at her as she walked by, slowly walked by. And she walked straight to the back. That's where she liked to sit, in the back, because in the back she could turn around and watch the traffic following her. She liked to watch the traffic. I don't know what it was about her. She liked to watch the traffic in the back of the bus. She could see all the traffic coming with her along the road. And she liked that. And she did that every single day. She enjoyed it. In fact, she enjoyed it so much, she actually started to draw. She used to draw in her book. She used to draw on the walls. She even drew on the seat. And the driver, he wouldn't get up. He knew what she was doing, but he wouldn't get up because he didn't want to contend with her. He didn't want to mess with her. He didn't want to have any issues whatsoever. She just drew everywhere. She drew with crayons right on the walls in the bus, while she every now and then would look back and watch the traffic following her. Oh, sure, they'd stop at the stop signs. They'd stop at the bus stops and the stoplights and all that, but it didn't matter. She just looked back and watched the traffic. It was almost like just a beautiful movement that she just loved to watch. But that's what she liked to do, and that's what she did. And Billy over there, sitting by himself with his blue jacket on and his blue pants on and his blue shoes on and his blue hat. She looked at him. It was like to say, "What's with you?" But he sat there. He had kind of blondish brown hair. And he sat there, staring straight ahead. He knew he didn't want to turn around either. But she just looked at him. She reached into her pocket and pulled out looked like a popcorn kernel. And she put it in between her thumb and her index finger, kind of curled her index finger, you know, and you put your thumb in between. Well, she had the popcorn kernel in there. And she bent her hand down a little bit and flicked right into the air, right up against his face. Flicked right off his cheek. And he jumped. Oh. He wasn't about to turn and look at her because he was afraid he was going to turn into stone himself. He didn't want that to happen. She thought it was funny. Small smirk went on her face. She did the same thing. Bent her hand down and flicked. Up it went, right over the top of him. Bounced off the wall. Oh, well, he tolerated it for the next 5-6 blocks, and he got off. He got off quickly, too. He wasn't going to tolerate that one bit. The other ones in front of him took off. Well, pretty soon everybody took off. Everybody was off the bus except the driver and her. They were going for a long ride, and he knew it, because she said, "No stops." And the bus driver, he was concerned about that one, because he had people to pick up at all the corners, and he couldn't stop because she said no. She just put her hand out like this and just swooshed it across in front of her and shook her head saying, "No, no." And then she pointed down to the floor. "No stops," she said. And then she pointed forward at the straight right into the driver's window, right into the windshield. She pointed forward. The driver turned around real quick and he just started driving. She had control of him. She knew just what to do. She meant business. And the driver kept going. Passing by all these little stops along the way, every corner along the way, he just passed them all, and people were waving, "Hey, hey, hey," and the bus kept going. He just kept going down the road, missing all of his stops, and the people were there just turning around and holding their hands up in the air as he drove by, and he just kept going right down the road, just kept on going right to the edge of town. He was heading into the country, and she was still in the back of the bus staring at him. He kept on going out into the country, up over the hills, going down the hills around the curves, around the bends, and going all over the place and up and down over bridges, and just kept on going. He had about 26 more miles before the next big town. He thought, "Oh no, I hope she doesn't make me travel all the way down to Louisville." "Oh no," he thought, "oh, no, I can't go that far." He says, "I'm way out of range." He says, "I'll never even be able to communicate with my dispatcher. I don't know what I'm going to do." Oh, he just shook his head like that and just kept on going because he couldn't stop. He could not stop. There was absolutely no way he would be able to stop. Well, he kept driving and driving under trees, around trees, going down the road, passing all those yellow stripes. Just kept on going and going and going. And she just kept staring and staring and staring. And he just kept driving and driving around the curves, around the bends, straight down up and over the hills. And around he would go down the hills. Kept on going. He just kept on going. And she just kept on staring. And he just kept on driving past houses and past streets and past intersections. He just kept driving and kept driving, and she kept staring, and he kept driving. He just kept driving, kept driving. He just kept driving, 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 driving.